Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guests on this episode are Smitty Supab and Alex Mallett of the New Orleans group Captain Buckles. The band released its debut album, Hurry Up, in late 2025. The recording is a fusion of funk, Americana, sounds culled from jam bands, and something that can only be defined within the confines of this group's universe. We spoke about the making of Hurry Up, as well as the band's growth and overall vision. I started by asking about the group's formation, and Smitty quickly took the lead. That's Smitty Supab and Alex Mallett on Into Music, coming up now. If you can just tell me a little bit about, like, obviously you're all experienced, you've all played in different settings and stuff like that. What made it the right time to kind of pool together and form a band?
It's kind of been an ongoing process of like kind of experimenting. And I would say the mantra or the idea that I've had from the beginning that has really come to fruition is the idea of letting gravity do its thing. Like, not really force anything, but to kind of like put the idea out there and see who gravitates towards it, so that we don't have to have somebody's agenda kind of override us wanting to be ourselves and do our own thing and contribute. And it's still an ongoing process, but as far as like vocalizing these things to the different members of the band, you know, checking in sometimes, having butting heads plenty of times and having misunderstandings here and there, like, it's still I think largely that so far. You know, it's even though I've been spearheading this and leading it for the most part, you know, like Alex has been contributing most of the originals, and now he's finally gotten comfortable enough to contribute his originals and getting to these areas wasn't exactly a linear process or a thing that was necessarily a goal. It was kind of like, well, maybe we could do this. You know, that would be cool if that would happen, and what could be done to make that the most likely. And I guess it's been like 2 years.
With the latest lineup, yeah, about 2 years. And what led us to this recent album, really, I would say, was this grant that we were awarded from Threadhead Association. It's like a New Orleans local-based music lover club that gets together money every year and gives a bunch of grants out. And we got awarded one of those.
Threadhead Cultural Foundation.
That's it.
But that's great that there's something like a grant there. Now, that's important because records are not free to make. You got to pay for the recording. You got to pay an engineer, let's say, to be in there. Then there's stuff like this, publicity and so forth and so on. So how big of a deal was that for you to have that money there?
I thought it was a boon in the sense that, like, because we're working so much in New Orleans, we're all sidemen to a bunch of other projects. I don't think Rob kind of does his own thing a little bit, but he doesn't bill his band as I think it's called the Broke Down Streetcar is one of his projects. I don't think he books a lot of gigs lately. And the idea for the grant was, you know, maybe, you know, and this is also not something that was completely agreed on by everybody. And it was something that I kind of just like, okay, I got to experiment with this idea. If I can afford to pay the band members who are working so much to be outside of New Orleans, far away enough to where they can't just like dip into the studio and then dip out for gigs, for 3 days at a studio, like, and that's why we kind of chose Dockside Studio. One of the reasons, one of the many reasons. If I could afford to do that, then we can really kind of focus in a way that we've never really done as a group, for sure, and see what happens. And you know, it's really kind of an experiment. That was really big to be able to do that.
A grant really is the only way we would have been able to do that in this time frame. You know, we're super grateful and thankful for this, and it's not cheap, especially to go out of town. And this studio is great, and they let us sleep there and live above the console room while we're waking up the next day, getting right back into it. So it's a really special environment. So the grant gave us access to do that. Otherwise, we probably would have kept it local, small budget studios. So, you know, it really did help make that happen in this special way.
So 3 days is still kind of a, it's a compressed amount of time. Obviously, you're all accomplished musicians, but there's still like, there's probably a little bit of pressure of like, we're in, we're out. So that means that you probably did a lot of preparation beforehand as well.
Yeah. A couple days worth of getting together. We didn't over prepare because we also, a lot of our music has a lot of like spontaneity, improv kind of stuff happening, and we wanted to keep it true to that while we all knew the forms and we're comfortable enough so we can get there. It was funny because the head engineer was heading home for after his first day, and he gave us access to downstairs and let us basically keep working if we wanted. And of course we wanted to until maybe 3:30, 4 in the morning. So we got a lot of work done. 3 days is short, but it's also, if you get to it, it's a lot of time. So it was perfect for us.
It was like 16-hour days or something.
Yeah.
Like, it
Yeah.
was wild. And yeah, it was awesome. It was also cool because it was what we wanted to put into it. It wasn't like, okay, we only have 3 days, we have to come up with something, we have to finish this or that. It was mostly just, okay, you know, what do we want to do? You know, like, there's nobody was really cracking the whip
Yeah.
except ourselves for each other. During the 3 days, there wasn't really, you know, sure, there are some tensions. Apparently, I didn't feel any personally, but afterward, some of it came out. But as far as like any kind of big disagreements or explosions or kind of like somebody like being like, no, you know what, this it has to be done like this. Like, none of that happened over the course of these really intense 3 days. And for me, I thought that that was like quite the achievement. I mean, I was just like really celebrating that was possible without anybody having to step in and be like, you know, listen, you all are doing it wrong. Nobody said that, nobody implied that, nobody had to step in and tell everybody else what to do. We just kind of naturally gravitated towards getting down the foundation to finish this the way we are ultimately proud of. I think proud of is I don't want to say proud. I don't You like to use that word?
Yeah, I would say we're proud of it.
I'm kind of trying to gravitate towards the idea of like not pride, but more like gratitude, but I still haven't found the right word.
So is there kind of like a typical way that maybe a composition starts, or is it kind of like all different circumstances that a tune might begin with?
At least, what, maybe half of the songs are original songs that I wrote when I first moved into New Orleans before I knew anybody in the band. And they were skeletons of the songs, and I played them with a few other groups, but until we started playing with this band, with this specific lineup that we've been using, they really, the original started taking off and becoming what I hoped they'd become. And everybody was able to put their own flavor into it, and it was like totally different than what they started as. So sometimes that's the process, is like I'll have a skeleton, and then everybody will listen and we'll jam on it. And we'll even play it on a gig and come up with a brand new idea on the gig. And then we'll go back and we'll mention that and try to hone in on that. So there's not one way or another. It's like Smitty says, kind of gravity. We just let it happen, and what feels right, we stick to it, and what doesn't, we'll let it fly and not hold on to it too closely. You know, we're open-minded.
Yeah, and Rob's songs, there's two of Rob's songs on there, and he largely just kind of like, okay, well, I like this, I want this on there, and as far as like maybe like a bass solo in the beginning of Bus Station Blues or something, and there wasn't a lot of nudging or a lot of direction for his songs. We certainly didn't listen to any recordings of his songs before recording them. We just played them on gigs a few times. We might have practiced it in the rehearsal studio outside of gigs once or twice, maybe. And then we just went in and did them. The last song that neither Rob or Alex wrote is this Michael Darby song. He's a New Orleans rock and roll legend for those who know of him. And he I asked Mike for his permission to record. He's like, yeah, sure, I'm honored that you all would do it. And the way that kind of took form, because he wasn't at the studio with us and he didn't give us any direction on how we recorded it. And the recording that I based playing it on was with a completely different band, different setup, and different vibes. So we've been playing that song for a few years since we started playing it, since I introduced it to the band, and it's take you know basically at the end or in the studio finally, we kind of tweaked it to where I felt like it reflected us. It was still his song, and it still kind of caught the essence. And you know, some parts I tried to take away, like the bridge, and Rob was like, "No, I really like that bridge. That's a cool bridge." I'm like, "Okay, cool, awesome. Let's do it like that." And everybody was just all yes. Everybody was just totally down. And in terms of post-production, in terms of layering it, I did take some creative liberties, but everybody was really happy with the finished product. So yeah, that's how those songs went down.
It's a diverse collection of tunes, and I wondered if some of that was down to, obviously, you both have so much experience playing live, and when people come out to hear live music, and maybe sometimes they're not specifically coming because of that band, they just want to go someplace where there's music. That was kind of, I think a lot of people want to hear some range within that, right? They don't just want to hear like 3 foot stomping cowboy tunes, you know, in a row, and then a slow one, then back to more foot stompers. They want some sort of range in there.
I think so. It's hard to tell. I mean, I've been to a lot of like two-step dancing at like Saint Rock Tavern and Saturn Bar and stuff, and sometimes people do want dance and it's a certain style, but as far as myself and what I love to listen to and what keeps me at a show, definitely I wish I you know I find myself at shows hoping, wishing the band would maybe take more risks and take me on a different kind of a journey. Or, you know, there's sounds, and I've been guilty of this, and bands I've played with have been guilty of it also, the idea of playing it safe to kind of like not risk the crowd leaving or alienating the crowd. But I think ultimately I'm playing, I want to play the kind of show that I want to watch and listen to, and yeah, I really like dynamics a lot. I really like a lot of different styles and flavors of music done with an integrity that serves a song and isn't just, okay, we're doing this slow song because we've done a bunch of bangers, but like because wow, I just did a bunch of bangers. I need a break from that. I feel like I need to do this, and I really want to serve this song, or I really want to, you know, do that. That's how I feel with some of these choices. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, as far as the live show goes, it's like a fine balance with reading the room, and then also, I guess you could say, reading ourselves, where we're also experiencing what we're playing and what we're listening to. So just being aware of that, and that I think that reflects in this album too, that variety. And even the instrumentals kind of have different sounds and styles to them, and then we'll throw in a few with lyrics, and that's how our shows go, and that's kind of how our album went too.
Yeah, I think a lot of it also is, I think one thing that we've been getting a lot better at is listening to each other, and not just as much as it is a personal thing. Like I said, we're and I try to kind of create the circumstance or make it as likely as possible where our own individual desires can come out and where we feel brave and comfortable enough to kind of indulge in them. As much as that comes out, it's also like, oh yeah, well, we also want to do, we're doing this as a group, we're not doing this alone. And so we're getting better, I think, at kind of, I think it starts with the band really, like, and depending on what state of inebriation or whatever energy we're lapping up from the crowd and what we want to give them, like different members or, five people from completely different backgrounds and completely different childhoods and completely different areas of the United States. Like there's just so many variables. It's so complex that, it's there's bound to be a lot of things going on. You never really know. But trying to find that balance and mainly just being open and being present enough to listen to that, like I think has been a really unique and really integral part of the sound. And I think what makes our band unique in that we're really trying to be there together without overriding agendas, because once that happens, it becomes something else, and to be this malleable, ever-changing in the moment thing is kind of what I really love. I think what we all really love, and it's delicate and it takes focus, but you can't get too in your head and focus too much. It takes this crazy balance of so many things, and it's so elusive and it's so easy to break that when it can happen for a song or a few choruses or a whole set or a whole show, it's just like that's like the magic that that I'm kind of addicted to. I want more, and it's not something that you can, it's not something you can force, it's not something you can rush, it's not something you can set as a requirement or a goal. It's just something that you can hope for as much as and set the circumstances as much as possible, because there's five of us. And an audience in the case of live shows.
That sort of, I'd be interested in your perspective on this as somebody in a band, because I can think of groups that I've seen where maybe I'll see an early show, like one of their first five or something, right? And then you can see them like 6 months or a year later, and it's like that first show you saw might have been really good, but there comes a point where it's like everybody gets kind of broken in, and it's like you start, I don't know, maybe the bassist and the drummer, they start developing some sort of telepathy, or the guitar players really started locking in. Do you experience that on stage in bands when things kind of finally like get to that point where it's like, oh, now we're really playing?
Yeah, we definitely do. And it's a risk, because at first we might try to just listen to each other, and it might not work out right away. And we got to just keep catering to it and really keep watering the garden, so to speak, just to like see what we're made of and what we like. And it doesn't always happen. And at first it didn't happen a lot, but we didn't let that deter us from what we were aiming for. But we notice it ourselves, and I think the audience definitely does too. You know, they'll come to shows a year later, out of towners, and they'll notice and they'll tell us like, wow, you guys are really cultivating quite an energy. And you know, we all it's a family, and we grow, and we there's ups and there's downs, but slowly it's always climbing up, and we're just checking in with each other to keep that progress growing.
Absolutely. I feel that way also. And it's been it's like I said, it's been constant experimentation. It's all conversation. It's some things you can't really say, you know, if you say it, it kind of breaks the spell. Or also there's this idea that like that you can't tell someone in the band, hey, I want you to take a blistering solo and go all out on it. Because if you do, and they do that, then at the end, somebody can say, what happened was you said to take a blistering solo and you took a blistering solo. That's completely different from like the energy going there. And for example, with me on bass, being like, okay, you know, like I'm feeling this, I'm gonna give you this on the groove. And hope, you know, hopefully you're gonna hear that and it's gonna inspire you to go wild on this. And you do that. And that's when it's like, that's a totally different story. That's a totally different thing that happens. And that's definitely been my mentality with as much as possible, every single musical moment in the band on stage and off stage. And, you know, like there's also a matter of like, you know, you can't really, you, incept that you can only you can only you can't trick anybody into doing it, you know, like it just kind of has to all maybe happen, you know, like you can't take credit for it either. It's a that's why I don't like to use the word words like proud and stuff, because it's really kind of taking my ego out of it and trying to serve the moment. Now what's funny is sometimes early on, now a lot less so, where somebody will be taking a blistering solo and like it's been two choruses or something, and like and the energy, you know, it's already been to 10 and or 11 for two choruses, and like okay, we're that was great, we're you know, you said your piece and now we're ready to kind of like be dynamic and chill and go to this other spot. And that person still might be wanting to take a blistering solo, continuing on it, even though there's not much gas behind it, or like the band behind isn't maybe feeling it as much. And then we kind of obligingly continue trying to support, say, at 11 for a third course or something. For example, things like that happen sometimes also, in addition to what Alex said, like sometimes you kind of want somebody to speak, but they're not comfortable enough, or maybe the bed isn't allowing them to come up with ideas and stuff. In the same way, where somebody wants to say something, but there's the support, there's not as much backup towards it, and it just kind of happens. That also can happen, and but that's all of these things, both of these things, like Alex has it's happening a lot less. There's a lot. There's so much more intuition happening with the band. It's not even just with the drummer and bassist, or the guitarist and drummer, or like locking. It's like it happens at the same time a lot of times, enough to where, you know, we're just like, woo, cool. You know, like, yeah, we're in Key West, at the Green Parrot, late July, and we hadn't seen each other face to face in like 2 months. We had no rehearsals before the gig. Like you were saying about preparing for the rehearse, the recording, like, you know, I had thought of, we had both thought of maybe doing some preparation so that, you know, like, and what ended up happening was we didn't do so much preparation. We didn't have a set list before we went in. And just showing up, the five of us, like from the first note on the first set, it was just like riding a bicycle because we hadn't played with each other in 2.5 months, and we hadn't seen each other, and we hadn't rehearsed, and but all of these things that we've been building together were just were still right there, we all knew, I think we all knew what to expect and what not to expect, and we all knew what we had to do to make it work, and we all knew what that what working making it work meant. And as far as I can tell, I might have said it before, I might not have, but it probably didn't matter because it happened. And like what that meant was being comfortable, being ourselves, having fun, playing at our best, and listening to each other and making it dynamic and grooving and all of that, bringing it, and we really did, and it was really magical. For that to happen after 2 months of not seeing each other was, was phenomenal.
I had this idea recently about, I think sometimes I listen to certain recordings and it's almost like the band isn't listening, and I don't mean like they're not listening. It's that they become like this blob, this singularity, right? Where it's just like it's so deep that it's not about what's he playing, what am I playing? It's like, what are we doing collectively?
Yeah, I think a lot of other bands that we play with, definitely bands I play with, I'll catch moments where maybe somebody's lost and they're trying to get back in. So they listen to somebody and it's like obvious, like, all right, the bass player is listening to the drummer now and he's getting back in. Or the keyboard's picking up what the guitar player is. And halfway through, he's now doing something that meshes well with that. But like you said, in this band, we've kind of catered to this principle of listening to it all at the same time. And it's a weird phenomenon that kind of happens and it's hard to explain, but I think a listener understands, and I think the band definitely understands in the moment without being able to describe it, like this is happening and we're all a part of the same thing right now.
Ooh, yeah. Just thinking about it just gets me real high again. Just like it's like, yeah, you're right. It's so cool. It's so like undeniable and so like tangible but ethereal. Like it happens in the moment, and then and so many things can derail it. Like it's so easy to get in your head about so many different things. And it could be from somebody looking at you in the audience and trying to avert your gaze or getting distracted. It could be, I looking at the bandmates, and I've had plenty of times where I've been playing with I've had conversations with drummers where like they think that when somebody's looking at them, they're doing something wrong, and then they get in their head about, oh no, like this there's knowing the song, knowing the changes, like knowing when we're gonna go somewhere, and then there's also like getting bored with the changes. I've done this change a gazillion times. There's so many things that can creep in, and there's so many things that happen when nobody is getting distracted by those things, and that is like, whoa, like how on earth is this happening? This is awesome. And like, woo, whoa, like it, and it's my belief that this is worth sharing with people. That's what we're sharing with people. Getting it ourselves is difficult enough and awesome enough, but like getting that in front of people where people are listening in the moment is like, whoa, and that's kind of, it's kind of hard to describe. Alex and I were talking about it earlier, like whether we should or what should we describe about our music. And like, I'm sure there's some stuff as we're starting to do some of these press releases and interviews, like, and as far as like how to market this thing, as we're releasing our first debut album, a lot of jam bands kind of do this thing, and so it's like, is it jam band music, or is it like But like the band and the Meters and the Allman Brothers, you know, they call it, you know, psychedelic rock, you know, they call it Americana. It's funk, it's soul, it's instrumental, like Booker T and the MGs. You know, there's so many things we can call it, but all of those are vehicles. All of those things are things that we just merely love. And the vehicle, it's a vehicle to get to these moments of like, I mean, I've been calling it for years, many years, eargasms. You know, like, yeah, I just, that's what I, that's kind of all I want. And I mean, what do you call it?
Yeah, just you can call it that. That makes sense. Eargasm's
Yeah,
a
just like this, you know, and it has a lot of similarities with, you know, the idea of gasm, you know, like, you know, it you can't fake it. I mean, people try to fake it, but it's, you know when it's happening. Sometimes it's short, sometimes it lasts for a long time, sometimes, you know, like, sometimes it's too slow or too fast for it to happen. And there's just so many things, but that eargasm, like, I really believe that that is the thing that people maybe they don't even know what to call it most of the time, and they don't even know that they want it, but when they get it, they're like, wow, what was that? And like, and that's, if we're gonna be selling or making money doing anything, you know, it's that's what I want to be doing. That's the focus I want to be doing. Like, you know, all the different genres of music and all the different flavors are, like I said, they're vehicles for that, because everything's a rate too, like the rate of eargasms. Like, you know, like, if I want to play a country song, like a George Jones song, because I feel it and I hear it in my heart, I want to play it. Like, and we do that. But after one of those songs, you know, like, I might get tired of pedaling the one in the five just like that, or like that particular flavor of rhythm and movement and groove. And like, I might want to do something different that has nothing to do with country, or, you know, like, you know, that's why this band has kind of become what it is, because we've all played a lot of gigs in a lot of different styles, mostly American music, but American music has so much depth and diversity in it that, you know, like, it's pretty hard to play for, you know, 5 hours and get bored, if you have the entire canon of American popular music at your disposal, you know. And that's, it's pretty cool to start with that, you know.
You've been listening to a conversation with Smitty Supab and Alex Mallett of Captain Buckles. The band's debut album, Hurry Up, is out now. You can learn more about them via their official website, CaptainBucklesMusic.com. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, KMUW.org. Send us questions and comments at info@KMUW.org. And please remember to subscribe to the show on your chosen listening platform. As always, we are happy to mention that our theme music is composed and performed by Torrin Anderson. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.